call this meeting of the Senate Committee on Regional Affairs to order. I'd like to let the record reflect that it is precisely 3:31 p.m. Thursday, March 24, 2016. Present today are Senators Egan and Senators myself, Senator Bishop. Senator Stanton is away on state business, Senator Hoffman and Senator Cannon. I apologize for that, and I do as well. Schedules this time of year are good. And that being said, I'd like to recognize Christopher Nickel on my center backers, Chris Kirkland, Mr. Richard North, and Jenny Sherry. Nice to meet you, Mr. Mayor, and Ms. Richardson, and may be a cell phone call, but they got it on here. And I think we're all desperate enough to know that what the deal is there. We have zero donut policy here if it means it rains or just pure water. And we're here over here at SBEDA because the teachers and public are employee retirement. Plus, our Senator Egan and then a little later in his staff. Then we're going to hear from Mr. Luke Farina. He's a missionary with the Master Public Pension Coalition. He's online. And then Mr. Farina, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, I have a question to ask you at the end that I just thought of, so don't let me forget that. And we need to do those right there as well. So, he's going to give us about 20-minute presentation as well. I'm in no hurry, and so I would just like, we're not going to take up, and then we're going to take up other testimony for 3 minutes per person in the corner. This will be informational only, valuable, and a bill. We do have a one-way director, Kevin, from the Department of Labor, to respond to any questions on the fiscal year. So, Senator Eve, you know, the drill 4 years.
Okay, I'm sure I'm Senator Hudson. I represent District 2. Includes Jack Kelly, San Marcos Hayes, and Cliff Wine. Mr. Chair, thank you very much for taking time to hear the bill. As your co-sponsor, I thank you for that. Because I know any ex teachers, tutors, firefighters, and other public employees choose one of two state retirement systems. An individual defined contribution retirement account, or only a defined benefit pension. Analysis of a previous version of this bill showed savings to about $70 million in the first 5 years. And if any revenue in this day and age is a good thing, it's cost neutral in the long term. It shares the risk of rising health costs between employees and employers. And it adds a nothing about 1 cent to the unfunded liabilities of the past. But the carrier staff and my staff have worked hard in the administration to get an up-to-date fiscal analysis. And I know they're working hard on it right now. And we've had Mr. Schumer soon. I talked a lot about this bill last year. So I'd like to thank the Alaska Public Pension Coalition for bringing on an actuary to Senator Buffy to us today. I'd like to call up Vice Senator Justin Keel to give you a brief, detailed, or more detailed presentation. And then Mr. Keel will turn it over to Mr. Kelly. That's a beauty.
That's fine, Mr. Senator. You can just come on, you want to just come on up to the table now?
Jesse Keel, staff to Senator Dennis Egan. Rather than go through the bill in excruciating details, while enjoying the 18-page bills, I thought, for being correction, that the best thing to do would be to talk just a little bit about how the major changes work in this bill. This bill leaves completely intact the current defined contribution system into which folks are hired today. And that is an option for a newly hired employee on the job. It also creates a new defined benefit pension tier. That's another option for a newly hired employee. That defined benefit pension tier differs in a couple of very important ways from the pension tiers and defined benefit tiers of the past. First and foremost, the vast majority of employees will pay more in pension tiers. So 6.75% of their income, they will pay 8%. It will take a great deal longer for them to earn the retiree health insurance benefit. For most, they'll have to be Medicare eligible before they gain the that dramatically reduces the cost of the state and makes it more, makes cost more predictable. They will also share in the cost of that retiree health care coverage by paying monthly premiums, which is not the case for the old defined benefit health care system. And perhaps most importantly, they'll share in the risk of health care costs doing what they did for a long time in the past, rising faster than expected. And there is a bill, an adjustment mechanism, so that employees share of that risk to change during their working life, and they can decide at the time of retirement whether to take that benefit, and they will know at that point what their share of the payment is. The bill is written so that the new defined benefit tier adjusts and does not cost a single asset or municipalities, school districts, anyone on the defined contribution tier. That's an important safeguard that's in every system to be written into the bill. It also gives folks currently working in the defined contribution system a one-shot option to switch. They can convert to a new defined benefit tier. That's a better option, but it's also at their cost. Anybody taking that option would have to take their current personal defined contribution account and convert that money into the value of the time they've worked. If they've done extremely well in the markets and there's extra money there, that money by federal law would have to drop to their supplemental benefit account or something like a 401k would have to be retirement account. In somewhat more likely event that there's less money in their defined contribution account than the value of the actual time they've worked. They have the option of buying that time, but it's important to note the state of Alaska does not buy it for them. Their municipality is not required to buy it for them. So this bill does not have any affirmative liability for employee decisions. And I noticed, Mr. Chairman, that in the public comments you received by email, there were some of you appear not to fully understand that, so I wanted to make it clear to everybody. Senator Reid noted that the Department of Administration is working on a full fiscal analysis of the bill. And we're confident that analysis will show savings from this bill being enacted. Mr. Chairman, the state and other public employers get the recruitment benefit of the defined contribution system for those folks who benefit from it, folks who maybe have a spouse employed to last and plan to be here 3 years. I would like to take their retirement savings with them. Or folks who have been in a private sector career and would like to serve the limited savings they have. For those folks, the defined contribution is a great recruitment tool. We get that now and we keep that in the bill. For those folks who would like to serve a full career in public service, as teachers or as state troopers, for instance, this bill would give the state a very valuable tool to retain them and keep them in public service. We also would get the added economic benefits of pension for those folks who choose their defined benefit tier. It takes people here. It's designed to keep folks in state when they retire. It works very well at that. It saves public employers a high cost of turnover and reduced productivity by having to retrain people on a constant basis. And of course, defined benefit pensions, for those who choose them, serve as a great shock absorber in an economic recession, continuing to pay a modest income, enough to survive on, even though the stock market is where the bond markets are down. That is an overview of the bill, Mr. Chairman, and with your permission, I'll sit up here and run the PowerPoint for Mr. Bert Fournier. I understand that these are snowstorm tipped in the Denver, Colorado area, and he was back on time as a person.
That's great. To forward for the report question, the research at this point, how many other states have something similar to this proposal? If you can't explain how you get back to three, I'd appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a number for you. There are a couple of states that have a pension option. Before you have a better webinar on them, one of the interesting things, I think it's Ohio, I apologize if I get that wrong, there are a couple that actually allow employee to revisit the option during their career. I don't know how they predict the cost of that. And so Senator Reagan thought that it would not be a good idea to write that sort of mid-career choice in this bill. It was a one-time, very radical decision.
And just a follow-up, as we're discussing this going forward, another thing to take a look at is that you reach out there and see how many states have went through the DC plan and then over a period of time, say, are back to the DC plan because it doesn't work in some cases.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is actually a case study of a couple of states that have been relatively late. And I know that Mr. Corey can speak to that. So if you can tell us, you can listen to
it. Okay. Thank you. So let's proceed. And Mr. Corey, I am prepared to follow along and have you see slide presentations.
Yeah, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Well, we see you missing right here in the present, but we'd like to see you, but I understand that the Colorado during the springtime is unpredictable, so this will work.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would rather be in the world, even though there's some kind of Colorado right now. People are here in Palm Springs, here for the most amazing time at home by midnight, and
screen as well.
Oh, right. something that I can kind of see on the screen. That's true. Let me tell you kind of about my background before we jump into this. I actually was one time a consultant for the board, the Alaska Drug Management Board, 2005 and 2006. I was more of the usual actuary. So whereas Buck was the actuary of the pension system, the onboard office, the extra layer of review, the department because of the problems you had, the actuary for understanding some of your costs. And then 2008, I was actually the auditing actuary. And then I started my own firm in 2010, and the next year, the option as opposed of the board membership going to the non-retirement benefits, and then it will probably also hear from the other individuals testifying. You have state to Alaska. And another key factor is that unlike pretty much every other employer in the country, your current public service, minimum hires since 2005-2006, don't have any safety net defined in the benefit plan. I'm self-employed. I have Social Security at least, so I'm getting it something. I don't do a good job of saving for my retirement or don't have an employer that pays a retirement payment. I still have Social Security. Your workers hired since this plan came into effect. Though you have that, so you'll have some kind of change. You'll fast forward half a generation, and you could have more retired soldiers, police and firefighters, that no safety net. If they pay $400 minimum or have an investor level, or even if they have an investor reason as well, just the market sentiment so low, they don't have any safety net. And then finally, at the bottom of page 4, as I mentioned before, we really worked hard to structure this program to be cost neutral or favorable to the state.
Mr. Ray, did I not make that answer your last name correctly?
Not finding it safe for me.
California.
So I hold on to all of the different names. I noticed that your first name is very similar to my first name.
Okay. If you will, local community. So that's just a friendly suggestion. So moving on, your show.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's a very important criteria. So now I'm going to slide by. What I'm basically trying to show here, basically, because the independent plans were designed to actually define the retirement benefit. So their whole nature is built around retirement, whereas defined contribution plans are trying to build wealth. They're trying to build an account which may or may not be used for retirement. Now, it doesn't work. I'm an example of that. I don't have much in the way of defined benefit plans, but I've seen well, and when I retire, I've built up enough money so I can pay myself a retirement. But defined benefit plans don't go through that very well. They go through pension funds job. That's what they're all for. They invest the money and they try to grow in so that they can provide pensions. And again, the bottom of page 5, as I mentioned, is extremely important because most of the workers, the vast majority of the public employees, don't have Social Security. Page 6. We did some work here to look at the level of benefits that could be provided and compare it between the current raise defined benefits here, which would keep you just tier 2, the police, fire, and other employers, employers just tier 3. And we looked at a for funds themselves. So on an apples-to-apples basis, even though it might be bad public policy and bad impact for the markets in general, you know, in your specific case, it doesn't make it an advantage one way or the other. Now, there's a lot of fear that how patient capital, you know, the exploitative economy, when they have investors that have long priorities, and, you know, so that's another nice advantage of buying benefit plans. But that's more from a macroeconomic or global focus. You know, there's a little weaker about, Alaska. You know, so it would be nice if the rest of the world would want to find benefit to the buying contribution. But, you know, you don't really have control over that. Did I kind of answer your question?
This is a topic I know a little bit about, so I'll be quiet so I can get to your slides. I've got a whole room full of people here. We can just pull up a chair and have an RJ walk over there and have a great conversation. But continue, sir. I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so let's see. Thank you. where we make the assumption that the individuals would have like an 80% likelihood of being a viable member. What would happen then is, most of the people die before the randomized deficit of money, so they won't run out until later. And when they die, they lose all this money that doesn't go towards pension benefits. And there's a life benefit, there's a life insurance benefit, but it's not a pension benefit. And if our goal is to get Alaskan workers to be able to put up a career in their need to retire, the reason we're trying to get it to last in their whole lifetime, it doesn't really make sense to take this taxpayer money to pay or recover death benefits for these people. So that gray section of the top part of these bars is what we call oversuiting. It's all this extra money that has to be saved up in case they live longer than they thought they would. And that just is because like 24% more money is required because of that future. The pension by contribution plan with a little pension benefit. They really want to make sure they're getting something to their spouse and kids. But no, I don't believe that's the purpose of a pension. That's an individual alternative. But in Form 11 as well, Form 11 is pretty busy, talking about this portfolio diversification. I think I mentioned all of those on page 11 before. So when you invest in risky assets, like Brick stocks and post bonds, the reason you're investing in those risky assets is you think you're going to get a higher return. And the reason they think they get a higher return is because generally, in the long run, you get a higher return. You can have some years where you don't get a higher return either, but worse return. But in the long run, equity investments can outperform fixed income or bond investments. And so, as individuals, as we age, and this is the sort of problem now, please, as they age, they can expect to get lower rates of return. The Dow Jones Index probably showed how in 62 individuals are still 60-some% in stocks and investment bonds. By the time they turn 97, they'll have much more in bonds and less in stocks. So whereas they might expect 8% of their return at age 62, or age 62, it falls to 7 or 6% as they get older. And that's what we modeled in this paper. And then page 13 basically summarizes this. The pool professionally managed assets have higher returns. And the bottom half of that just shows some of the recent studies that have shown the outperformance of defined benefit plan returns versus defined contribution plan returns. And in our paper, we basically simple 1% differential. I wanted to show in the recent case that maybe I didn't report as copies of this report. I didn't have a link to it, so if you want to pull it down up online, but basically, this is the basic detail that shows this benefit plan providing up nearly twice as much benefit per dollar. The page 14 is so Iraq was the fight in front of the Senate and House in 2014. You know, a little bit happened since then. This report has been updated. We're talking about that. There's an organization, National Senior Retirement Security, has done another study on the experience of states that switched to DC plans. And I believe that's in the packet. It's about an 8-page report. I will just touch on that. The University of California did a study asking our teachers that are often in the 401k. And then also important is that Buck, the actuary for the retirement business, conducted their annual four-year in-depth recognition of actuary experience. I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes, too. Page 15 is just a couple bullets on the study that I was focusing on, which And what happens is there's a misperception that these clients inherently save money. But the likely reason they originally save money is because usually when you're putting them in, the employers put less money at it. And so they do save money, but they do so at a very, very severe reduction in benefit levels. Then we updated some of the assumptions for the appropriate selection change. The data given to one company has really gotten a lot better in the last 10 years. We have things like target date funds where they help the workers decide what asset allocation to do, to use based on what they think they're going to retire. Their fees have been squeezed a lot. They're getting their progress fees reduced. And then the asset allocations have changed. The pension funds are starting to invest in their assets faster than they did 5 years earlier. So moving on to slide 16.
I agree with that 100%. And I would just add one more element to the ordinance. The final benefit plans work, but you have to be honest with the multiplier and the contribution rate.
These conversations are extremely really totally in like California in 1999. There was this view that the markets would go up forever. And in California, in particular, in 1999, it grew the multiplier very high, and the goal 40 and 50. It is the proposed buyer. If you were to then you would get 30% of the increase of service. So if you know the extreme easy guy is maybe has 30% of the teachers. going to by focusing on the 2014 study done by Buck, the actuaries of the retirement systems. Basically, what actuaries do, they set these assumptions that they use for figuring out what the costs and liabilities are. What the assumption of how long they're going to live, how likely they are to quit, what their pay increases are going to be, when they're going to retire, and perhaps most importantly, what the investment income is going to be from the pension fund. And then every 4 years or so, they go back and they try to test, back test these assumptions and see how good they were. Because if they're not so good, then they want to go change them. And so, Buck, as the normal course of business, did this study back in November, September of 2014, and they published it in November, to look at all of these actual assumptions that they had done. And the reason I'm highlighting that is because one of the questions we have, we've heard anecdotally that this decent plan encourages workers to quit and move back to the low 48. And that kind of makes sense. You're young, you're lucky, you come up to Alaska, you got fired for a couple of years, you teach for 3 or 5 years, and then it's time to go get a real job, so you get a job as a pension. And so you come back down to Washington State or California or who knows where. And we want to see if there's any evidence of that. And while the Buck study didn't look specifically at that, it did give us a little bit of information because it breaks out the turnover and their likelihood of quitting for two different age groups, before 5 years of service for police and fire and crews, and then before and after 8 years of service for the kids. And so now when you start 23, basically we looked at that study, and sure enough, there was a little bit higher turnover. The teachers in the school were higher than they expected, and the police and fire school was higher than expected. Now the other priority was a little bit less than expected. But I think that might be some evidence that you are indeed losing teachers and police and fire more than expected.
On that point, on this slide here, was there any monetary numbers assigned with the turnover? Because you look at, let's look at the turnover, 12%, teacher turnover, 8 years, 12% higher than expected. Well, a school district's got time and money invested in professional development, et cetera, and all that. The same for fire departments and police departments and those. There's a lot of training that goes into getting an individual, what I say, journey person status. And so that costs, that's real money. And now that person is backed up for whatever reason, they're gone, and now you've got to go through the same field again. And so there is a cost there. I just wonder if you assign the cost to the turnover rate.
You're absolutely right. That's a huge cost. I do a lot of work for firefighters.
Set in the room going forward, maybe to have dealt with, but know, this meeting, especially at this time, is very important. And it's all about, you know, big numbers, right? So I think that the honesty and realistic assumptions and et cetera, et cetera, you know, and just help make a case for this bill. So.
Yes, we have a little bit of hard data, and we want to add a little bit of data, and certainly, you know, someone to do the work to figure out the training costs and so on. And then, on the website 23, is that, you know, normally, you know, I've done lots of these experience studies for decades with hospital pension funds, and it's very cyclical during these sessions, people talk about it. People are happy to hang on the jobs they have. There's not, you know, there's no rating of employees. And so since this period of time is during the recession, I think it's even more evidence that when we have people leaving during recessions, what's going to happen when most of the workforce is really trying to raise our teachers and those firefighters and so on. So I think this could be a significant ongoing issue. This is slide 24. I touched on a little bit. You know, unfunded liability has grown by more than $3 billion since implementation of the DPC program. You know, the bill wasn't really designed solely for unfunded liability. And then, sure enough, it didn't. We put in safeguards into the new bill to try to manage any additional unfunded liabilities. And as you mentioned, those the main ones are on the healthcare cost side. So if the healthcare costs go up more than expected, there will be a cost sharing more than expected by the employees and retirees. And actually, that even goes to longevity. If they do go a little bit longer, if that causes their health costs to go up, you know, that will be paid for by, you know, not by the state, but by the individuals. You know, this plan will be advanced funded, you know, it's good. So, you know, the actual assumptions are pretty close to accurate. There will be no new unfunded liability on this plan. And if the actual assumptions have a little bit of insurance and built in, if you think they do, then it actually is a surplus for this plan. And it will take, you know, 50 years to get the plan is pretty young, but that will certainly be the case. This is slide 25. And this kind of summarizes again, you know, the plan's economical is designed to keep the jobs here in Alaska, keep the retirees in Alaska. It provides a safety net that everyone else, you know, including me, has from Social Security. You know, this is actually pretty cost neutral. Page 26, it talks a little bit about the provisions. The benefits for the pension part are basically the same as the 2 years they were switched in the 90s. So sometimes everybody is going to plan, maybe back to a lower tier benefit, and that was in effect until July 1st, 2006. The retiring health benefits will be stronger than the average of the PCR. And PCR is the tier four for PERS, tier three for PERS, and the easy time, basically. But when the initial on this was under the 1990s to 2016, and I just didn't discuss that. On slide 27, in regards to our initial, the level of contributions required by each of these groups. And on the right hand side is the PERS plans. You know, basically, you know, they're going to be putting in more. You know, PERS tier 3 individual is in the left bar, as you notice, the green bar. They're putting in 7.5 for police and fire, which is 675 as their other PERS. And then the employers are putting in 8. We have the employers who just to put in 8 for that plan, too. So the employees take part of the tier. Under either DB tier or the DC option, we'll be putting in 8. and it was just about done. You should have served 28 of his supervisors, but it, the supervisor had benefits for the workers. It wouldn't provide future health, their health benefits. We would no longer have a health retirement account, the contributions they have, but we had health programs then. And again, it was a time, so people's costs would not increase. And depending on how this missile bill comes out, compared to last missile bill, would actually save money for the state. Then, page 29, it's the same thing, but it was written one more time.
All right, good. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Okay, the chairman is reporting, but thank you for your short presentation. Congress, on the budget that was passed, maybe $1 trillion spending plan that's proposed to be passed in Congress, there's a provision in there for pension plans to write down their debt if they are not funded, so they can decrease the deferred benefit, mostly benefit payment, if they write down their funded position. Are you familiar with this legislation?
Sure, not exactly. I suspect you're talking about this
is there questions? Anybody would like to come up and testify in the room? Is there anyone on the record? There's only one thing. In the room, the sign that will get Christopher Benson. right, sir. Please put yourself on the record and follow through.
Is it better if I'm Chris Bishop?
From Fairbanks.
My name is Chris Bishop. I teach business and computer science, engineering, and robotics at Laser High School in Fairbanks. And there's been a support asset donated with validity for discussion of the last hour. I provide engineers and public employees an option between a defined contribution and a defined after retirement system. I'm a teaching at the recognized 2013 State Teacher of the Year, the 2014 National Teacher of Excellence, and a finalist for the 2015 Presidential Award for Excellence in Math and Science Teaching. In the same year, however, the defined contribution retirement plan is one of their state's recruitment and retention efforts to design the excellent teachers within. I was hired from my full-time math position at Fifth High School in the fall of 2008, and been told that the time I was one of the 65 applicants to that position. I consider myself very fortunate to have been hired from a pool so deep. His understanding of the defined contribution system has grown, interest in teaching in our community is far more dramatic. This last fall, I still need to hire another full-time math teacher, and after the job being posted for more than a month, there will be 20 applicants. We have extremely important efforts. The only major impact of our defined contribution system has been retention. In the 8 years I've been teaching, many of my peers have left the profession for better careers, maybe moving to teaching states that offer defined benefit retirements. More and more of the conversations I have with my fellow Tier 3 defined contribution teachers are not about the long-term success of our schools, but instead about short-term job options and asking the question, how long are you staying? This is a decision that's followed on my plate. 2 years now, I will have time for a decade. My student loan should be paid off, and I should be done with my PhD program. At that point, I'll be faced with a very serious choice between continuing as an educator in Alaska or moving on. My first message to you is an education. I know that teaching is where I want to be and where I can be doing anything. I want my second message to you is economics. I am torn knowing that the smarter economic decision is to go teach in a different state where you will be better in the street elsewhere. I appreciate the time taken this year, and I appreciate you having me here, Mr. Chair, and also for your time and introducing the bill. And while I'm asking for your future, I know that in the coming years, there will be a point where I need to decide whether to stay in education in Alaska or not. What I can tell you is that in making that decision, my top concern is the retirement system. This means that your support for Senate Bill 88 has the risk of being back your customers and the quality educators our students and communities need.
Thank you, and I wish your program had to place your program teaching. And hopefully we can get this fixed in the coming year or so.
All right, thank you.
And next up, Jerome.
I have both in my portfolio. I have a two-year defined benefit from CalPERS with employment in Blackfire School District in El Dorado County, California, and a defined contribution in GSA from employment with Mosquito Fire Protection District, also in El Dorado County, California. I've lived in the last 14 years. I was recruited from California to work for CBJ and Eagle Crest. What was most enticing to me was coming to Alaska and to live in such a wild and sterile place. The thing that sealed the notion that you could live here was the benefits. Tier 3 was fascinating. Alaska first in 5 years and medical in 10 years. It meant financial security for my family and myself. I worked in the private sector here and accumulated a defined contribution on the soil. I've been a manager of four departments in CPA. I have seasonal staff at the 40, and I have a small business since I moved here, and know the difficulties of employee retention with and without the ability to offer long-term incentives to stay. I believe in the better the benefit package, the higher the quality and number of individuals that will apply for a given position. There are full several places that wish you find your retirement. Enjoy your ability to help the funds accumulate under your better control. And be able to clear those funds for the next job or career change as a defined contribution. There are also individuals that would rather not have the volatility of the stock market recovered under a defined contribution and would enjoy the security of a defined benefit with set return and the leadership of proven financial experts, such as we have in Alaska First. Our community still suffers from the brain drain. Without the long-term offer of a defined benefit to look forward to at the end of our career, it is difficult to keep our young people here. In closing, I ask that the committee recognize there are a number of people, potential future workers, that could be attracted if they had the option of a choice between a defined benefit, excuse me, a defined contribution, and a defined benefit. Thank you for your time and attention. I'm Mr. Lee Christensen, and I am a just union worker.
Mr. Christensen, thank you for your testimony, and the chair concurred with your comments. All right. Next up, we have Mr. Hernandez here, for testimony.
I'm good.
From the Pancras Disability Living here, Warren.
Mr.
Chairman,
that's
the reason for the appointment of the mayor, sir. All right. You're in the queue. The name and record for the field records in the queue, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to be here today with the committee. My name is Jesse Hernandez. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm currently a police officer employed at the municipality of Anchorage since 2013. I'm here today to speak in favor of the Senate Bill 88 and this record is why it is important for me being born and raised in Alaska, coming back to Alaska was that important to me because there's many concern of the people who have done so much for me and live in this state. Also, sir, Sakani in law enforcement is also there, but currently under the first tier four, I have some concern in my county in regards to financial and medical stability for me that I pursue my career. Specifically, to me, sir, I have other financial obligations, such as school loans for higher education, rent, and other financial responsibilities to do in order to live, which does not allow me to contribute to my defined contribution. Specifically, it's no effort retention and recruitment problems in the field of law enforcement. I'm the first name of officers leading the department to career managers to departments such as Denver, Colorado, where they have extensive hiring in regards to pension and medical. I've specifically been talking about other departments too, who are training, that's gone on to the employees, where they have specifically stated Alaska law enforcement officers are some of the highest trained in the nation, and it's difficult to get their hands on them, to give you flyers, to give you things, and even some say you can buy your time in to their defined benefits. I'm speaking to the I have a desire to leave, I'm not able to serve the people of Alaska on the record level, this is my home, and this is a pretty big deal to me. But I'd like to wait the rest of my time to answer any questions that you have gotten. Everyone.
So, are there any questions here? No, I'll have to just thank you for your testimony. Justin, thank you. I have no questions because nobody has a song to be on this subject. So, I appreciate your services to the team and be safe out there, right?
Absolutely, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to testify and speak in front of you today. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have, that's all our honorable in. We have one more in the room. Come on up and put yourself on the record before there, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gregory Collin. I'm from the U.S. Coalition. I've been on the first trip for now for 7 years. In reality, I started at the bottom of the bus, upper track, so I've seen some pretty gains on over the years, but in the last few months, it's down to 2%. We're obviously down with teachers, so that there's some of them that are getting a big concern now. So, I'm a person who loves my community, and I feel it's able to make sure that I'm going to get it and just over the past. Of course, I think I would cheat out, and it's obviously not my choice of people who don't feel safer for my own life, but here today. That's my first time. But I work for the school district or the state or city or any other state or school district. It's my first time. You know, I do that freedom, but we're going to see a little bit, but still have a lot of values in that state of the county. Just kind of just in a certain point, just kind of stuff I do today.
Thank you. Anything else you'd like
to add? Thank you very much.
I have a question for you. if you don't have to answer this, it's a little bit personal, but how old are you?
I'm
29 years old. So, because it gives you one piece of advice, and my dad was told you somebody's giving you advice, you probably need it worse than the person you're giving it to. But in this case, I'm going to let an example, and I want to see how many heads nod up in the audience with this comment. You're 29 years old, and I got in the operating engineer when I was 17, and lied about my age. You know, so I broke every child labor home in Alaska. But I, in my wildest dreams, never thought that anything about pension when I was your age, you know. And as I started to get a little older, and people were in some pains and whatnot, and you start, you know, you get those remittance slips quarterly, right? You open it up and you look at it, and first 15 years, you have a look at it, and it's over here. And you start being on the kitchen floor. And my dad always told me, he said, you don't need money when you're a young person. You need a rat hole and save it and keep putting into that pension plan because you need that money when you go out the other side. So, work, keep as much money as you can, and hopefully, somebody will have enough for you to do it because they're history. And if Mr. Morning is up here online. I have one question. I don't know if you can fact check this or if that's what I want to say. It's just to go along to add a little benefit to, for Mr. Collins benefit and not as under room. Years ago, when I was on our pension trust, it seemed to me like 70-some percent of the population in the United States retired at or below the poverty level. Was a number that used to be thrown around. And that just flew forward me as a working person. And it just strengthens the case for having a good defined benefit plan. So we can take care of ourselves in our retirement years. So I don't know if you can, if you agree with those numbers, or it's just something I want to throw out there. Seeing no brothers in the room or online. Anything else in the community?
Senator, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for giving this bill. Obviously, there's a lot of support. The last legislature last year, and I hope someday we get out of here and we'll thank you for sponsoring this memorial. December 7th, I was not on the center of the school. He was at the center of the school. I was at it,
in closing on my testimony and seeing no other business to come before the committee today, as I stated earlier, when I set this aside, there's more numbers coming to the committee, I believe, and I look forward to them so we can schedule another hearing. Thanks everyone for coming tonight. Have a great Easter weekend, and we are going to be adjourned.